Brothers and sisters, as we are deeply aware, every liturgical season has its own unique characteristics. One of the things that we can say about the Christmas season, it's the shortest of seasons. But don't let it fool you. As short as it is, everyone, there's a lot that happens in it. As a matter of fact, we have 6 holy days of obligation during the year. 2 fall in the Christmas season. They are, everyone, Christmas on December 25th and this coming Tuesday. 8 days later, we'll hear the story of the circumcision, January 1st, the solemnity of Mary, Mother of God. After Christmas, we celebrated 3 feasts. St. Stephen, December 26th. Holy Innocence was December 28th. St. John the Apostle, December 27th. Here's another interesting characteristic about the Christmas season. Every Sunday celebrates a feast. So when you gather next week, we'll celebrate Epiphany. We'll wrap it up the following Sunday, everyone, with the Feast of the Baptism of the Lord. And that means, being a Sunday, everyone, in the Christmas season, we gather and we celebrate a feast today. And indeed we do. It's the feast, everyone, of the Holy Family, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Not the perfect family. Notice that. We're going to come back to that here in a minute. We call this, everyone, the Holy Family. I want to take a moment and I want to speak on all 3 readings today. Let's start with our first reading. On the 4th Sunday of Advent, we heard the story, everyone, of the Visitation. Mary sets out in haste to Elizabeth, who in her advanced years has conceived a son. And of course, his name will be John the Baptist, and we'll come back to that story here in a moment. This isn't the first time, though, in the pages of the Bible that we've heard a woman advanced in age conceive and bear a son. I'm going to give you 3 examples. We'll come back to the one of Elizabeth here in a moment, but I want to share with you 2 more. And what I want to share with you, how important a son is. Every one of these stories, the son ushers in something. So let's start with one that we're well aware of, Abraham, everyone, and Isaac. Sarah's advanced in age, and all of a sudden, she is told that she will conceive and bear a son. And her response is what? She laughs. And when she bears a son, his name is Isaac, which means to laugh. Her laughter. Because she just simply couldn't wrap her head around this idea that in her age, everyone, she could conceive and bear a son. But she does. She bears Isaac. And one of the great stories that we know about Abraham and Isaac, everyone, is this. Abraham is so close, everyone, to thrusting the knife. He's ready to do it. When all of a sudden, an angel of the Lord stays his hand, and in place of that, a ram is sacrificed. That becomes important because what Isaac ushers in, everyone, is a promise. Here it is. God tells Abraham that he will establish a covenant with the chosen people. They will be his people, and they will become as numerous as the stars in the sky. Now, here's the problem with that, everyone. If Abraham actually had jabbed the knife, there would have been no children. I will bear a covenant with you. You will be my people. I will make you as numerous as the stars in the sky. But if this had happened, it would have been the end. It's the promised heir, everyone, that we hear about in Isaac. Next, we come to the first reading of today. Hannah and Eli. This isn't the first time they've crossed paths. Hannah one day is actually praying in a synagogue. And Eli is there who oversees the synagogue. And he thinks that Hannah is drunk. So he goes up to her and says, "How dare you come into this synagogue drunk?" And she says, "I'm not drunk. I'm praying for a child. I'm sobbing for a child." And she conceives in her advanced years. And we hear his name, everyone. It's Samuel. Now imagine this, parents. I want you to think about this, especially you mothers. What do you think it would be like for Hannah to all of a sudden take Samuel and leave him behind? What do you think that's like? And yet that's exactly what's happened. That's Hannah's promise. If I'm given a son, I will give him to the Lord and I will dedicate him to God. Now, why does Samuel become important? He ushers in the kings. He's the one that anoints Saul, the first king. And when he's unfaithful, he anoints the second king, who is, do you know who it is? David. It's David, and of course, it's through David that we hear about the lineage of Jesus Christ. All right, Elizabeth. Elizabeth, in her advanced years, of course, conceives. And we heard Mary go to visit Elizabeth, and she conceives and bears a son whose name is what? John the Baptist. And all of a sudden, what do we realize the purpose of John the Baptist is? He ushers in the reign of Jesus Christ. The old now becomes the new in the power and the person of Christ Jesus, our Lord. A word on the second reading of today. In the longer form, everyone, of the Gospel of Christmas Vigil, we read the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Now, every one of us here has a genealogy. Mine would go something like this. I am the parents of Lowell and Bonnie Schuster, who have parents too. They would have been John and Mary Loki and Andrew, and all of a sudden Mary Schuster would have been my offspring. We all have that story. Genealogy after genealogy after genealogy. Isaac had it. John the Baptist had it, everyone. Samuel had it. And you know something? With every genealogy, every story that gathered here today, in the midst of that genealogy story, everyone, there are certain rules that were followed in our households, right? Don't you establish rules? Well, here's a couple of them that I'll share with you. Girls, do you like spinach? Do you like eating spinach? Do you like spinach? You ever hear of a guy named Popeye? Popeye ate spinach, and guess what he became? Strong. Do you like eating liver? Liver's good, actually. How about beef tongue? That's what we would get from time to time. Guess what my rule was? What's put before you, you eat it. We never got this idea. I don't want this. Get me some mac and cheese. Put it before you, you ate it. Here was another rule. You respected your teachers. And if you didn't, there were consequences. And trust me, there were consequences. You know, you could talk about that today with your families. What are the rules that we have? Well, today, everyone, we learn this, that we are a part of the genealogy of God. We are God's children. Second reading tells us that. We are his adopted sons and daughters. And in that, he asks of us two things, two rules. One, believe in the name of Jesus. And number two, love one another. A word on the gospel of today. I have one of these things, everyone, like so many of you do. One of these. How many of you get Amber Alerts on yours? Do you get them? I get them on mine. Can you imagine what it's like to have a lost child? That's an Amber Alert. Something has happened to a child. And when we get an Amber Alert, what are we given? Description of the child, maybe a vehicle that it's tied to. And what else do? We keep an eye out, everyone. And what do as well? We pray, don't we? Well, that's the gospel of today. We hear about a lost child. They go a day out, everyone, look among the acquaintances, relatives, realize there's no one there. They go back into town, and how many days does it take before they find him? 3 days. 3 days, brothers and sisters, we have a lost child. Imagine, everyone, the anxiety, the fear, and all of that. It's all there. And there's even words. When Mary says to Jesus, she says, "How can you do this to us? Don't you realize you have caused us great anxiety?" So this answers one of the questions that maybe you might ask of yourselves. When Mary conceived Jesus, did that mean that she knew everything that was going to happen with this child down the road? Well, if she did, there's no reason to have panic, anxiety. The answer is this. Of course it's not. And that's why, everyone, today we don't celebrate the perfect family. No family, everyone, is perfect. It's the what family? Holy family. In all things, they put their trust in God. That's what I pray for our families today. As a matter of fact, I'm going to conclude here in a moment with a blessing for all of our families today. Every one of yours. All of yours and mine as well today. And we realize in the midst of families, there can sometimes be hurt feelings, misunderstandings. And what I pray for everyone is mercy, peace, love, and joy. Especially as we get ready for a new year. So brothers and sisters, for your families and for my family, let's take a moment and let's offer this prayer today. We bless your name, O Lord, for sending your own incarnate Son to become part of a family, so that as he lived its life, he would experience its worries and its joys. We ask you, Lord, to protect and watch over these families, so that in the strength of your grace, they may enjoy prosperity, possess the priceless gift of your peace, and as a church alive in the home, bear witness in this world to your glory. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.